angels now to carry me to realms of endless day.
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Tuesday this last week, we had a major national election in our country, as you know, and Senator Barack Obama was elected the next president of the United States. About 59 million voted for Barack, about 57 million for McCain. Many in our country, I think, are elated and excited to see what kind of change that Barack may bring to America. And about as many in numbers are wondering what that change might be and are in great anxiety and dread. But I think maybe for many of us, there's at least some relief that at least now it's finally decided. After 2 years of hearing about this every day, finally, at least we know who it is. Whether or not you think that's good or bad, who was elected. And so for about 2.5 years that we've been listening to this, if you've followed the news at all, there are two words that I think have jumped out in the press talks and radio talk shows and TV shows about this that are more used than any other. I think those words are conservative and liberal. You hear about this all the time. Senator Barack Obama being voted by National Journal, I think, the most liberal member of the United States Senate. Biden not being too far behind. You have also McCain being more conservative, also being considered a moderate by some, and Palin perhaps being too conservative. Moderate, conservative, liberal, neocon, lib. You hear these words? Left wing, right wing. Hear about this all the time. Well, we've heard about this with respect to people. But I'd like to take these two words today and see what it is about our God, how these words relate to him. Is he a liberal or is he a conservative? And I'm hoping today that we'll get a certain measure of peace which God wants to give to his people today as we look in his holy word this morning as to what God has to say about himself and who he's shown himself to be in history, whether or not he's a liberal, or is he conservative. So you with me on this? Let's take a look today so we can understand our God, who is really the one who's ruling over this world, not the President of the United States, and in whose hands all things are. Well, number one, let me just determine first off, is God a moderate? Does he play both sides of the aisle? You know, on these elections that we've had and all the debates, it seems like both Barack and McCain have been trying to say, vote for me because I can play both sides of the aisle. I'll rule from the middle. I'm a moderate. I'm a centrist. I'm right in the center. I'll bring the country together. Well, is that the way God is? Is he a moderate? Well, let's take a look at God's holy word. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7 and following. Here God has brought his people out of Egypt, out from under bondage to Pharaoh, saved them through the Red Sea, brought them now to Mount Sinai. And while Moses is up on the mount with the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments and more, then it says in verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed to it, and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, and watch this, he said, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. So, is he a moderate? Does he play both sides of the aisle? This God is no moderate. Whatever else you can say from this passage, he ain't no moderate. There is a zero tolerance for other gods. This is the God who loves what is right, and he hates every form of evil. He doesn't play both sides of the aisle. There's no schmoozing with the illiberal elite from the other side. Light doesn't barter with darkness. This God whom we serve, who is reigning right now, is not swayed by public or political opinion. He has no compromise, and if I might just say, I've heard this was sent to certain people on the campaign trail, they send each other these. Pair of flip-flops, right? Because they're this way one day, and this way the next day. Our God is not a flip-flopper. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13. And so you can be sure of him of one thing, that he's no moderate, and he also doesn't flip-flop on the issues, but he is for what is right. He is for what is true. He's for the truth, and he's for Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'd like to talk then. He's no moderate, but I'd like to tell you this morning that our God, with respect to the truth, to his holy word, to all things that are right and good, he is a pure, ultra-conservative. Let me start out saying then, first of all, let's talk about a few of the ways that he is conservative, and what a blessing this is to us. Consider this issue that was on the campaign trail, pro-life or pro-choice. Our God is pro-life. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Paul says, God gives to all men life and breath and everything. How do you think then he feels that there are so many slain in our country, innocent blood of unborn children? Well over 50 million since Roe v. Wade of 1970 or so. And every day there are 3,600 children who are slain. But I want you to know something first of all about our God. No matter what happens in the political world over the next several years, you can know this. Jesus said of himself in Matthew 12, it said of him, a bruised reed he shall not break, a dimly burning wick he shall not quench. Jeremiah 1, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139, thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, O God, I know it right well. And in Jeremiah 31, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So how great it is that we have a conservative God, the King of Kings, who wants to give you life and loves to make things grow, and has even given you life and his Son, Jesus Christ, such that you would have eternal life in him. And there is no bargaining or compromising or flip-flopping on this. You know, when I was in the other Lutheran denomination at a time, before I came to this, saw the light, I should say. Well, I saw the light even then, but I was at an ELCA seminary, and I wrote a paper on abortion. And the teacher, the professor of theology, said, it was a great paper, Greg, only you gave just all the arguments for pro-life. What about pro-choice? What about women's choice? What about the other side? There are so many good things there. And I had to get up in front of the class and say, there are no other sides. My God is one God. He loves what is right. He loves what's true. He's the God of life. And so how great this is that we have a God who's conservative in this, that he doesn't want to slay you. He wants to give you life and even eternal life in Jesus Christ. Also, you take another thing that was on the campaign trail, which we voted in Florida, yes unto. That means one man, one woman equals marriage. Or not in any case, but marriage is between one man and one woman. Our God is a pro-family God, a pro-marriage God, believes in the sanctity of marriage. So I'm happy that we voted in Florida and in California to amend the constitutions there, but I want you to know there's no such vote with God. It doesn't need a vote. It's by royal decree, as he says in Genesis 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so when it comes to family and marriage, we have a conservative God, which is beautiful because he wants for you a secure family and loving relationships. And he also wants godly children. Think of this. We've heard a lot on the campaign trail about education. Well, is our God conservative on that? I would say his motto for his education system would be, no child left behind. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, in these words, which I command you this day, shall be upon your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. God loves children, and he wants them to hear his words of life, that they may know him and have the joy of that relationship and eternal life. And maybe I can be so bold as to say this today. I don't know, most of you wouldn't shoot me, maybe one or two. How about this? Is God a Republican? I would say he's an ultimate Republican, but not in the human sense of the term, but in a divine sense, because he believes in small government. You know, I don't know about worldly big or small government, but with God, I know this. In Isaiah 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So where is God's government? It's one person, Jesus Christ. And it's even a little child that God has given to us, upon which he places all of his government. The judicial branch, the legislative branch, the executive branch are all rolled up to one in one in Jesus Christ, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. Isaiah 42 says, "I am the Lord. That's my name, and my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to graven images." And Jesus said, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." So we have a conservative God, and that's a beautiful thing, because he reigns in righteousness and justice and truth, and he needs no one to counsel him. But then, although he's a small government kind of God, one man, he is also strong on military. He is not weak with respect to these things. He protects his people. Remember what it says when it's on Deuteronomy 3, verse 22? "You shall not fear them, the Canaanites, for it's the Lord your God who fights for you." Revelation 12 says, "War arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come." And we're living in those days when Christ has come and his authority is here in the church and reigning on behalf of his people. So I'm thankful today that we don't, you know, we're sometimes worried about Obama. Is he weak on military? He's already had calls from Putin, from the president of Russia, and also from Palestinians and the Israelis, and we're wondering, what's he going to be like? Well, you don't have to worry about that with respect to God. He fights for his people. He is there to defend you with all of his power and his might to work on your behalf. But then also, he's not, as some are, weak on border patrol and control. Think of the illegal aliens that we have here, and you can have different opinions on how to receive them, but I want you to understand this about our God. He is ultra-conservative on this also, because he doesn't take any illegal aliens into his kingdom. All must come through the wicket gate, the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. As it says in Isaiah, only the redeemed shall walk there. And in Revelation, that nothing unclean shall ever enter his city. And in Matthew 22, he talks about a great wedding feast. And then the king comes up to one of them and he says, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. And the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So you can have all kinds of different understandings about illegal aliens in our country and how to receive them or not receive them and whether to give them rights or not rights, but there are no rights in heaven for illegal citizens, those who find their way into God's kingdom through a back door. That one is a thief and a robber, Jesus says in John 10. But rather, I want you to understand that God would invite everybody into his kingdom only if they'd pass by Liberty Island, his Ellis Island, where he says, "Give me your poor. Go out to the hedges. Draw them all in. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," says our Lord Jesus Christ. Only come in by Liberty Channel and you shall be saved. Come in through faith in Jesus Christ. So when it comes to conservative, oh my goodness, you can rest assured today in peace. Our God is no politician. He's no flip-flopper. He is sure. He is strong. He wants patriotism in his people to their heavenly country, a love of the cross, and they should not be afraid to hold their hand over their heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance to Jesus Christ. And so when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. What are you doing today? Are you rejoicing or are you groaning? Are you putting your trust in princes, whether or not Brock or McCain was elected? Are you putting your trust in princes? Well, let those things go, because we have a prince called the Prince of Peace, and he is ruling in such a way that David and we can say, for he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Huh, praise God. I'm so thankful for that. But although our God is a ultra-conservative with respect to the truth, I should know he's also the biggest, boldest, and most audacious liberal in the world with respect to love and mercy and pity and kindness and graciousness and goodness. For think of what he says in John chapter 8. Here's a woman who's committed adultery, who has broken God's laws, the laws of Moses. She should be stoned and killed for such. What's Jesus saying? He looks up and says to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." You know, you have a liberal God, a God who wants to give freely in all things. As he says in Psalm 145, the Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. And he says, "Come unto me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who can come to Jesus Christ? Do you have to have a certain pedigree? He says, "God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gave his son. He is liberal. He wants everyone to receive his eternal life. He gives us provisions and blessings, and he even gives it on the unjust. As it says in Matthew 5, "You shall have heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you shall be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust." Are you wondering today whether God's going to be kind to you? Whether he's going to be liberal and generous with you? Whether he'll provide for your needs, you who have believed in his Son, Jesus Christ? Are you afraid today about that? Well, I want you to understand, you don't need to be afraid. We have a liberal God who, it's his delight, it's his nature, it's his character to give, 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 give. He's laid up for you treasures untold in heaven. He's just waiting to show you on the day of the Lord. And he's going to provide for you today too. So I want you to rest in him today, knowing his character and his truth. For as it says in Romans 8, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him?" God has given you his most priceless treasure, Jesus Christ. He's going to give you the heavens and the earth too, for they are less than Jesus. So if God's given you the greatest, he'll give you certainly everything else. And also, and finally, I want to say this today. If God is conservative, as he is with respect to the truth, and liberal, as he is with respect to giving, what sort of persons do you think you ought to be? Living before him, calling yourselves by his name, being his children, calling him Father? I'll tell you what sort of persons you ought to be. You ought to be ultra-perfect, pure conservatives with respect to God's holy word. Not budging from this one iota, one dot, following it, fighting for it too, as God does. Fighting for families, fighting for marriages, fighting for children, fighting for the unborn. And also liberal and generous as your Father is. With respect to the poor, to the oppressed, for loving each other. And since this is the beginning of Stewardship Sunday, giving also to the church's work in the world. Now, how do you think God wants his kingdom to advance? He who once said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'll build my church." And he also says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go." How does he want that funded? this God who is conservative and liberal? By bake sales? By us doing little craft fairs? Does he want this great mission funded by Rice Krispie Treats and oatmeal raisin cookies? No. He wants it funded, I'm assuming, according to what I've said so far, through the rich generosity of his people, who have a love for his truth and want it to go out into the world, and who have a liberal hearts like their Father in heaven. Look, you can give liberally because God is liberal. He'll provide for your needs. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance, and so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine, so it says in Proverbs. So what I'm saying with respect to stewardship is, when you give, I'm not going to push you in guilt or shame or force you by compulsion, but I'm saying look to who your God is. He gives freely, so you should give freely. And he gives for the right things because he loves what is right, so you give for what is right out of a cheerful and loving heart. For our God is a cheerful giver himself. Yes, one man gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A liberal man will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. And my final word then is this. You're worried about Obama? You're worried about our Senate, our House? You're worried about the instability in the world? Well, maybe bad things will come. But you don't have to be worried, because we don't put our trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there's no hope. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth, and on that day his plans perish. But happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever. And so I hope you can say with me, as I say with David from 2 Samuel 23, this is the final one, for he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll please stand.